Hey guys, welcome to season 4, episode 1 of the Strong Dynamic podcast. It's been a minute. It's been a couple of months, maybe even 3 months. Yeah, might be getting on for 3 months since the last episode. I do apologize. I'm going to be honest with you. I did intend to get this up and running sooner. One thing after another. I'm going to be dead honest with you. Made a few excuses. Had a couple of episodes recorded, which are still coming your way, this being one of them. So this one was recorded actually last year. So you may actually hear this guest talking about meeting up with somebody socially distanced, which as it stands currently, we're in a national lockdown, so we're not supposed to be meeting anybody. So just so you know, this was when we were supposed to be socially distancing, but we weren't in a full national lockdown as such. Anyway, I've got episodes recorded, got some in the pipeline ready to record for this next season, and I'm going to make sure these keep churning out each week for this next season, at least, and for the foreseeable. So, let's just get to it. So this week's episode, my guest is none other than a good friend of mine, Si Gregory. Si is a PT, online coach, and also dabbles in a bit of pro wrestling. We've never met in person, but we do speak very regularly. He is also a member of the DeFranco Nation, as I like to call it, bit of a community that one of my guests from season 1, Joe DeFranco, set up online, for other coaches, athletes, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to check that out, look online for the DeFranco Insider, giving them a little push there because it's an amazing place to be. And that's where we kind of met, and that's where we sort of hit it off. We've got very similar sort of training styles, similar ethos, similar take on things. And, this guy is also, he's a husband, a father, and, similar to me in many ways. So without further ado, let's get cracking with this week's episode. My guest, Si Gregory. Enjoy, guys. Hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of the Strong Dad Army podcast. And today my guest is Si Gregory. How are you doing, pal?
Hi, everyone. I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, cheers for giving up your time on a Sunday morning when no doubt it's probably family time.
It is, yeah. But obviously, as you know, we're in lockdown right now. So I've got no real sense of work time and off time. Like, just still trying to find my feet with the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely, mate. It is crazy. So, no, I mean, we'll get on to talking about how you're helping people through this lockdown at the minute, mate, in a short while. But I know you've listened to a few episodes of this in the past, but what I like to do with my guests is, sort of go back to, the beginning, really, and just get a little bit of info on your childhood. What was childhood like for you? Were you a good kid, bad kid? What was growing up in Milton Keynes you're from, isn't it?
Milton Keynes I'm from. Yeah. I think I was relatively a good kid. My mum, if you ask my mum would tell you I was the best kid ever. I didn't do anything wrong. It was always someone else.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I was brought up primarily by my mum. My mum and dad separated when I was 3.
Yeah.
How long do you want me to go?
No, you take your time, mate. Whatever you wanna divulge is fine.
Yeah, so I was raised pretty much by my mum, and then typical boy, started getting into Marvel, which then turned into pro wrestling, which then turned into bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And then kind of led me to this fitness lifestyle, the industry that we're in now. So yeah, that was pretty much childhood, typical boy, like I said, mummy's boy. And that was kind of the journey that led me to here, really.
Yeah. So the wrestling then, it was definitely something we were going to talk about. So what was the point? What was it in your childhood that made you think that's what I want to do? Because for those that don't know, Si is a what we call a pro wrestler, what some may know as entertainment wrestling, whatever term you want to give it. I know there's terms that wrestlers hate to use, but for those listening, that's the kind of wrestling that Si does. But so when was it, is there a point you can think, you saw one of the episodes of WWF as it was back then or whatever?
Yeah, I know exactly when it was as well, funny enough. Just before I go into it though, I'm in a wrestling group chat with a few other wrestlers, and I said I'm going on this podcast, and the guy whose podcast it is, he's like an assistant coach at NXT UK, and wrestlers are like typical like glory hounds. They're like, oh, introduce us, mate. Like, you've got to pass our name on. And I was like, all right, guys, calm down. Yeah, so I remember it specifically. I think I was like 9. And do you remember the Dudley boys, right?
Absolutely, mate. Of course I do.
Yeah, so they're famous for tables, right? Mm-hmm. So Bubba Ray Dudley is bent over on this table. He stood up on a table and he's bent over. If anyone's listening to this and you remember it, it was awesome. Billy Gunn, badass Billy Gunn. I can swear, right?
Yeah, yeah. Say what you want. Okay,
badass Billy Gunn, right? He hits the rope, jumps up and hits the famouser, his finish, right? Which is basically him jumping up and putting his leg on the back of a guy's head. So Bubba's stood on a table, bent over. So he's above the top rope, pretty much. Billy Gunn runs up, jumps, hits his finish through. And I've never seen a guy that big and that jacked jump that high. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So saw that following week, I'm flicking through the channels and there's a replay of that. And they're about to have a match, or they're about, like, the Outlaws or the Dudleys are about to have a match. But they showed the replay from the day before, the week before. I was like, I saw that. I want to see how this story kind of continues. And around that sort of time as well, like 9, 10, I was always like a bigger kid. Kids always thought I was like 4 or 5 years older than I was. So I was always getting into like, not trouble, but like getting picked on and stuff like that. Older kids always giving me kind of like remarks and looks. Like I couldn't walk down the street pretty much without a group of older kids shouting stuff at me. I don't know what it was. But then later on in the show, Triple H, I think, is beating someone up. And here comes The Rock. The Rock comes running down, right? And me, a 9-year-old kid, just looking at The Rock to save the day. And I was like, I want to be like that guy. Like, yeah, that guy. He's cool. He's jacked. Doesn't take shit from anybody, right? So that was me hooked from then on. The Rock was my guy. Fast forward now, another 20 years and The Rock's still my guy.
Absolutely, mate. So was it a while after that you actually got into, you went to your first sort of wrestling training session, or, you know, how did that come about actually getting into it?
I was 14, so I went to secondary school, and me and my buddy Dan, we would, you know, wrestle in the garden, wrestle in the field, you know, throwing super kicks at each other in the hall, pretending we were DX, telling teachers to suck it behind their back and all this sort of stuff. So everyone knew we were kind of like the geeky wrestling kids, right? All of a sudden, I'm at the gate, and I was waiting for Dan, probably, and this older kid walks past. He's like, you're into wrestling? There's this wrestling school at Bletchley Leisure Centre, which was like 5 minutes from my house. And I was like, no way, they're kind of mucking around with us. I tell my mum gets on the phone. She's like, there is actually wrestling training down there every Saturday morning. Well, I went down there, the guy let us in. I remember waiting outside the door, looking in, seeing a ring, opened the door, went in, there was posters like the British Bulldog on the wall, Ultimate Warrior, and there was a ring. And I was like, oh, this is real. And I'll never forget, it was like the most vivid sort of moment ever. And I was like, when's the training? They were like, every Wednesday and every Saturday. And I was like, cool, I'll be here every time. My mum was like, you don't have to come every time. I was like, no, I'll be here every time. And we done our bumps, our rolls, body slams, suplexes. I remember that first session like it was yesterday. Yeah, and then I subsequently had a break when I was 16. GCSEs, exams, girls, all that sort of stuff that, you know, happens when you're like 16, right? And then I got back into it when I started driving at 19. So I went to different training school, and then I started kind of going to different shows, and then wasn't too long before I was fairly busy with it.
Nice. So how long was it after starting training that you actually had your first match in front of, whether it was in front of an audience or not?
Yeah, so back when I was 14, that I started that. So it must have been before the summer because I was at school. And then my first match was in September, so about 5-6 months. Just a little training match, went way too long, made all the classic mistakes. If I watched it, but it's awful, it's horrible. I wore white tracksuit bottoms, white elbow pads. I trained every single day for it, but if you look at photos, I look like I'd never lifted weights a day in my life. I was 14, I didn't know what I was doing, yeah, right? Yeah, so I had a few training matches, again, wasn't very good, and then had a couple of years break, and then when I went back, I think it wasn't too long. I think it was only a couple of months when I was like 19 before I started wrestling again. And then when I was 21, went over to America for a few weeks and wrestled over there. And from there, just started kind of taking off where I was wrestling pretty much every weekend after that.
Nice. So I take it this wasn't like, or was it a full-time job at any period, or was it always sort of an extra thing while you when you first got into working, or did you manage to sort of live off it in any capacity?
No, funny enough, actually, considering what you do, but when I was growing up, I wanted to be like three things. I wanted to work in a gym, I wanted to be a wrestler, and I wanted to be a firefighter, funny enough, right? So I went two out of three. But no, when I first got, like I said, I was 19 when I kind of got back into it, and I kind of made the commitment to do it. And then I started being a personal trainer when I was 20. Far too young to have a personal training business and be a solo business owner, but there you are. So I would do my clients like Monday through Saturday, and I always finish, I still do now, midday on a Saturday, and then I would pretty much go home, shave my chest, slap the fake tan on, and then go out and, you know, drive to, I don't know, wherever it was I was driving to, and do like a show on a Saturday night or a Sunday or whatever. I wasn't as busy as a lot of like the guys who are in NXT now. They're the guys who have been on the British independent circuit for years and been wrestling 3-4 nights a week. You know, I was never really like that. Once or twice a week, maybe, you know. But yeah, it was never like a full-time thing. It was always like a weekend sort of gig for me.
So like I say, you're doing personal training now. I know you've sort of shifted recently into online coaching, which we both do as well. The personal training though, so you started that at a young age. Have you done that ever since, or did you like you said with about it was a, you know, difficult running like a solo business at such a young age? So did you sort of step out of it and maybe go and get a quote unquote regular job, or have you always been that since you started it?
Pretty much always been that since I started it. So I worked at Asda, so I worked on the checkouts, and then I worked for security. And I started doing really well with the security and the manager at the time, because we kept having like rotating managers, not to get off on a tangent, but they were looking for like a permanent manager. And this guy said to me, he was like, you know, I'm kind of pushing for you to do this. I was 20, right? He goes, I'm kind of pushing for you to do this. He goes, I'm going to set up a meeting with you and like the general manager of the store, right? So he's trying to get me in with the good books and all that. The same week, a guy phoned from DW basically saying, hey, we've got your, you know, CV. Do you want to come and be a personal trainer? So I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, it's going to cost you £500 a month in rent compared to this salary that I'm like kind of being positioned for. I was like, well, this is what I want to do. So I went over and I tried to balance the two for a while. And I think that probably lasted 4 or 5 months before I just packed Asda in and went full time into personal training, which was maybe not the smartest idea. Everyone else had a bit of a regular job and PT'd on the side, but I just went straight in with PT. So
how long is it you've been doing that, you know, as your main job now, or as your only job, if you like?
So nearly 10 years. It'll be 10 years in March. Yeah, nearly. But I would say a lot of people don't really know that I did it that long. They're always a bit surprised, because I really started putting all my effort into it and trying to make my social media good and trying to like get better at the business side of things overall in like 2017. So only like nearly 4 years ago. Before that, I was just kind of like talking to people on the gym floor and not really having a clue what to do. You know, I was single pretty much and had no clue about business. Yeah, just winging it. Yeah, just absolutely winging it.
And that's, to be honest, excuse me, just sort of going off a little bit. Even if you've got a plan in place, and I'm finding this at the moment, you know, I'm always putting this plan in place to, you know, make sure I put appropriate content out for my followers and obviously making sure I serve my clients well. But at times, no matter how much plan you put in place, you still feel like you're winging it at times. Do you agree? Or
Yeah. So obviously, we're both part of OFB. No, you're both part of OFB as well, yes, right? You kind of introduced me over to OFB. So Dan, who I've known Dan for a while, he's Dan Mac Fitness on Instagram and all that sort of stuff. I've known Dan for a while through like different channels. Mm-hmm. But obviously, he's very structured and very into scheduling and stuff like that. And I was like, I've got to get better at that. So I started doing that, and I was like, right, from this time to this time, I'm going to make content. And I've just been doing that for the past few months. But even so, with a young family, they're like, well, that gets scrapped, that gets pushed, that gets changed to a different time. But yeah, still feel sometimes like I'm winging it, but I'm trying to get a better daily structure.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happened to me this last week or so. So Monday, just gone, our little one went back into school after, she's in her first year at school, so reception, she didn't quite do a week, got sent home for 2 weeks isolation because a kid in her class tested positive.
Right.
Yeah. Went back in for a day, 2 weeks, half term. Then right. She went back in for 3 days and been sent home for 2 weeks again.
So no.
Yeah. So this week that's just passed, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those days were like, this is my schedule. This is it now. My schedule is going to be boom, 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 all done. Yeah. When, Thursday, I was in work. I was back in at the fire station. I get some work Thursday. My wife rings me. She's got to isolate for 2 weeks again. So I'm like, fucking hell. This schedule just ain't happening. Yeah, yeah. So she's isolated twice now. It's just bonkers, man. It's just bonkers. But obviously, we're not going to get into all that.
Yeah, stuff. And you're newly a granddad as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations, mate. How does that feel?
Cheers. And you know, and it's such a shame because the thing is, you know, obviously we have seen him. We have spent time with him. But especially with this lockdown now, it's difficult because we're not going to get to spend a proper amount of time with him just yet. But fingers crossed, it won't be for too long.
Hopefully not. Fingers crossed. Just to go back on what you were saying though, because obviously I kind of want to touch on it just in case there's any PTs or coaches listening that kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed and everything like that. Me and you are both CPPS level one, right? We both went through the set. That's how me and you kind of got in the same sort of channel, that right?
That's the different. Like, we're, everyone doesn't know who that is. That's the different Jim Smith certification.
Yeah, we're both heavily influenced by like Joe DeFranco and James Mosme, Jim Wendler, Jay Ferrugia, right? That's kind of, I don't know about you, but that's kind of like the guys who I follow and podcasts I listen to and stuff like that. But if I ever feel like overwhelmed or anything like that, and I'm like, oh shit, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place here. I'm going back and forth this way and I'm just not getting that done. I also try and keep in mind that like, Jay Ferrugia, for one, talks on his podcast quite openly that he was still working on himself and his personal development now, but he didn't really feel like he started taking off until he was like 40. He's now 46 and he's in that sort of like position. Joe now, I mean, like if you listen to his podcasts, he's still like up at 2 o'clock in the morning on the phone to Smitty. They're trying to get this project done. It's not like there's a lot of structure there. They've all got, you know, Joe and Smitty have got kids and young families. So they're finding the time to work between like midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'll listen to that and I'm like, well, it's taken them years and years to get to that position. And Joe will quite openly talk about how when the gym was booming and taking off, people were saying, oh, you know, you must be like raking it in, the gym's doing really well. And he was like, not really, like they're close to shutting. It wasn't until, you know, I don't know if it was anything to do with Triple H, but that's when his business started like shifting in a different way. So I think everyone kind of goes through that. And when you've got no day-to-day like office colleagues to kind of sound off on when it's just you, do you know what I mean, like in your own head, it can get a little bit overwhelming. You can sometimes feel like, oh, I'm not structured enough, I'm not doing this well enough, and you know, so yeah, I just wanted to touch on that really, just absolutely, in case anyone else was
and just to, again, just to, you know, for anyone who's listening who's, you know, maybe a PT at the moment or looking to get into like online coaching, it's and this actually came from a video I was watching of Ollie Carsons. I don't know if you know Ollie, but I've done a bit of work with Ollie at the minute. I've been doing a bit of work with Ollie around my systems and, you know, sort of trying to schedule things a little bit, as well as my regular coach, Tanya Filer. And Ollie mentioned on this little video I was watching of his, I think it was a YouTube video, that his office, which is in his garage, he said, you're an online coach. It looks great. It's all singing, all dancing, all that. He said, but you are an office worker.
Yes.
You're a not even glorified. You're an office worker who works in the fitness industry. So people, you know, have this misconception that there's this sort of, I don't know, this sort of thing about it, that it's like this super sexy job, and it isn't. It's not.
Yeah, 100%.
It's amazing help. The big thing, as I've no doubt it's the same for you, is the helping people, the getting great feedback. You know, when your clients say to you, you know, I'm so happy with the results and all the good stuff.
Yeah,
but that's like this much. The rest is, like I say, sitting at a desk. That's what I'm doing. I'm at this desk here, and I'm in my hotel room over the weekend, and I'm just working. That's it. It's all I'm doing. You know, I'm getting out for a little walk after to get some fresh air, get me hours exercise. I'm just sat here all day. It's not sexy.
Yeah, no, exactly that. Yeah, same thing. Going back to like that scheduling, I was like, right, Mondays I do my client updates, and I was like, I'm gonna have to get more specific. So I was like, right, Monday between 10. And one, those 3 hours, late morning to like lunchtime, that's when I'm doing my feedback videos. I can't just say, oh, on Monday, I'll do it. Like, it's got to be structured. Like, if I was at work, it'd be like, well, you're in a meeting from this time, you got to get this done at this time. You know, so you kind of got to treat it that way as well. And yeah, like you said, I spent a lot of time, and Dan obviously talks about this a lot, softwares and systems and all that sort of stuff. But the key part is getting people results. And I've just finally got myself registered on Google, and I started asking people for reviews and stuff like that. Nice. And not to kind of like toot my own horn, but a lot of the first lines are like, Sai changed my life. And I'm like, you don't think your business is what it is.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like you said, you'll spend time at this thing and, oh, that's not as good. I haven't got around to filming that video. But then someone who you work with or someone that you help, like, because I work with Dan or because I work with Sai, my life's changed. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, do you know what? I don't need to stress out about making this bit of content this size or whatever. Yeah. Like the main part is helping people. And
of course it is, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just going back to the scheduling, like you said, I'm talking to anyone listening now who's thinking about, you know, whether it comes to your training, your nutrition, anything to improve your physical health, is that you do need to schedule a bit. You know, it doesn't have to be extremely rigorous, but if you're one of these guys or girls that's super busy, you know, maybe you run a business or you don't, you just got a young family or whatever it is you've got going on, you need to put in that time for you. If you know that, like I said, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know that between, I don't know, 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., you've got that hour, use that hour, write it down. And that's a massive thing for me, is writing shit down. That's the thing I got years back from, Jim Smith, who we mentioned, Smitty. He's saying about brain dumping, writing shit down and all that kind of stuff. And it took me a long time to actually, even though I thought it was a good idea, to actually do it. But then when I did, and I pretty much daily now journal, and I'll just write down a few things, what I want to get done, a little bit of gratitude and all that kind of stuff. But it's just so at the end of the day, I can tick it off and go, do you know what? Yeah, I've had a good day. I did that. But I didn't do that. So what? I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to make sure I get it done tomorrow.
And that's 100%. Yeah. And I find there's a common theme as well between like us guys and small business owners, you know, solo, personal trainers, whatever you want to call us. We're all big into like self-help stuff like that, like scheduling, journaling, gratitude stuff. Like my notes app on my phone is my most used app. Like last night I couldn't sleep because I've got a Facebook group launching tomorrow. Nice. So by the time this goes out, it'll already be over and done with, I assume. I've got a Facebook group coming up tomorrow just to kind of try and help people, steer them the right way through this lockdown. And then last night I was like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do for the Thursday video. So I sat up, there I was, like, noting everything down. Yeah. I've got a constant like gratitude thing. And I think I stole this from Sook, obviously the owner of OFB, but he did a post, and it was, is Ivy okay, which is his daughter's name. Hopefully he doesn't mind me saying that, but he put it on his social media.
He's supposed to be coming on, mate, to be honest.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah. He put it on his social media. So I'm sure he won't mind me saying it. But basically he said, whenever he gets overwhelmed or feels like he's not doing a good job enough, he's like, right, is Ivy okay? Which is his daughter's name. He's like, yeah, it kind of centers everything. So I've got like non-negotiables and also like questions. And I'm like, right, I have to train 3 times a week. I have to lift 3 times a week. And if I can do that, I'm kind of good. Yeah. And I also have to ask myself, right, is my family okay? Am I doing everything I can with my business? Am I helping my clients the best I can? If the answer to those two is yes, like my wife and my kids are okay, I'm doing everything I possibly can for my clients, then everything else kind of like settles down a little bit, you know? And just going back to what you said about scheduling timing for your workout, I did a post a while ago about when you're selfish for that time, it benefits everybody. Like if you're the kind of person like me, like you, who needs to kind of train to mentally feel good, and it kind of enhances your whole life, especially if you've got a young family, you want to be around for them, you want to be in good health, taking that hour to be selfish and prioritizing yourself just benefits everyone.
Absolutely.
You let off some steam so you don't have like little bickering arguments with your wife or husband or whatever. You're in better health, so you can play with your kids, you've got more energy, you're more, do you know what I mean? So just taking that time to be a little bit selfish just benefits everyone. I actually learned that from my client Tony as well, online client of mine, and he trains, like he'll get up and work at like 2 o'clock in the morning, he works through the night, and then he'll still go to the gym. Like his recovery ability is insane. He still wants to go to the gym like 5-6 days a week, and he'll go 6 o'clock in the morning on his days off. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it, man. And he went, yeah, I choose to, because I can spend time with my kids in the day. And a light bulb just went off me. I was like, oh yeah. He's like, you know, looking, this is the time I've got free before they wake up. Yeah. So I'm going to go do that for me. I'm going to schedule that in for myself. And then I've got all day for them. So yeah, you've definitely got to schedule that time in, and there's nothing wrong with prioritizing yourself to be better for everybody else, better dad, better husband,
all yeah, that stuff. Totally, mate. And that's the thing, at times it's, I think we get this guilt thing on many people, if they don't prioritize, like say having that little bit of selfishness, they feel like they can't do it because they'll be being selfish for doing it. And like say, it's not the case, because you've got to do it. You have to do that in order to make self-improvement in other areas for yourself, of course, with your, you know, your physical well-being, maybe your mental well-being. And like I said, everybody benefits from it. I totally agree, because those days when, you know, the rare occasions when I might have a workout scheduled and I don't end up doing it, but like Friday before I was packing to come to London, I was hoping to get a workout done, but I did know in the back of my mind there was a possibility I might struggle before I set off, and I didn't end up doing it. It pissed me off a bit, but I accepted it. It is what it is. Life does genuinely get in the way sometimes, but it's more the I've not got time. That's what people need to work on. It's that we do need to make the time, even if it is 20 minutes. Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah.
People have this still have this idea that a workout has to last 60, 90, Christ, even 2 hours long.
Never done that in my life.
It's just not the case at all, mate.
Yeah, going back to, like I said, The Rock being my guy. I'm sure he's a lot of people's guy. I think everyone in the world follows him on social media. He's like, you know, I have to train at 4 o'clock in the morning before I go and work on set for 14 hours because it anchors me. And then he did a post the other day where something pissed him off at work on like a movie set, right? And he went to go train again.
I remember.
Yeah, he was like, I had to get my second back workout in because something pissed me off at work. And I was like, at his core, still the same principle of setting yourself and making that time for you so you can be a better team player or family member, whatever it is.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. So the online coaching is going all right at the moment. Are you having to not having to shift things for your clients and make things work differently because of lockdown again with gyms being closed?
Yeah, it was funny. The lockdown one, the original.
OG.
I ended up signing up, I think it was like 6 new online clients. And a lot, you know, I felt bad saying it in a way. I felt a little bit guilty saying it because people were struggling and people were on, you know, tender hooks in case they lost their jobs and stuff like that. And I was like, actually, I'm getting more people coming in. It was because people were at home and they didn't know what to do with their training, didn't know what to do with their nutrition. So they needed guidance, which is ultimately what we provide, right? You can have all the kit in the world, but if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to set yourself up with a training plan, all that sort of stuff. So that was okay. Now, I've got 2 spaces left for my online coaching, so I'm not like too concerned. But my online coaching is staying the same. 50% of the people that I work with online have been training at home all year anyway. The others kind of got some kit last lockdown to get set up. And my in-person clients, I'm working with via like video sessions. That's not online coaching, like Dan Mack always points out as well. I put him up like loads of times, right? but yeah, he's always like, you know, Zoom is not online coaching. It's not. That's not what our online coaching is. My online coaching, I don't have any face-to-face. I don't train people in person with my online coaching. It's all, I provide the training, the nutrition, the support, the accountability.
Yeah.
It's all online. The people who I work with in person, they like that accountability because they wouldn't, you know, a lot of people have said to me, if I didn't have it scheduled in with you, I wouldn't go to the gym. Like, I need that appointment.
Yeah.
So with them, they've switched over to video and we're training their front room. We're trying to make it as fun as possible as well. Like, trying to look at the positive, like, okay, we don't have this bit of kit, so why don't we focus on something that you're not very good at with body weight and let's make a challenge out of that. Mm. So that's how it's going so far. I mean, what's it like for you? Because I think the last time we spoke about online, you said you didn't do very many in-persons anymore.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same, mate. Yeah, literally a handful of in-person clients who obviously at the moment can't come and see me anyway. But a couple that I train, a married couple, they've been doing their sessions via Zoom since lockdown and still have, because one of the members of the couple is sort of more vulnerable than, you know, than others from a shielding standpoint. So we've agreed that it's safest to just keep doing the Zoom sessions. But the good thing is they've picked up a bit of equipment because they've stayed on with me. I've actually sent them some equipment that I've got in the gym that I knew I would get away with not using for a while. So we've made it work, and that's the thing. And you know, they're doing it on their sort of their lunch break, whatever days we decide to train. So they're scheduling it in. They know that that's when they need to train. The odd occasion meetings come up, so they might join a bit late, or they've had to cancel occasionally. But you know, it's breaking their day up. You know, and that's the thing. It's because they're putting it in the diaries. They know they've still got that appointment. They've still got something to look forward to, so to speak, something to get done. And I think that's the thing, is that with this lockdown again, and fingers crossed, it will only last 4 weeks. I'll be honest with you, I think it's going to last longer. I hope I'm wrong, I really do. But it's about, for me, making sure that you just think of something you can do to improve. And even if it is literally using that hour a day we've so-called got again, just go out for a walk with your family or on your own. That is better than absolutely. Because if you didn't do that, I genuinely have had people say this to me, yeah, but it's only a walk. I say, yeah, but it's a walk that you wouldn't be doing if you didn't do it. It's still movement. And it is the
simplest
form of movement. It's unbelievably beneficial. Walking is massively underrated, as I'm sure you probably agree.
100%, definitely. And if you look at, not to get too technical, but you look at like the total daily energy expenditure, so the amount of calories that you burn in a day, the amount of time you spend on your feet, walking, taking steps, all that sort of stuff, contributes more calories burned than an hour in the gym, formal exercise, whatever. So people underestimate just how much progress they're going to make from increasing their step count. And yes, 10,000 is kind of thrown out there like the golden rule, but like I've been saying to my clients and other people on social media, if you work at a desk and your current step count is 3,000, 3,500 is going to benefit you. It's going to increase. But definitely be doing that. There was something else you said. I've got same situation as you. Right after I'm finished with you, actually, I'm going to meet one of my clients socially distanced as possible and drop off some dumbbells to him, because he messaged me and was like, dude, I can't do another 4 weeks. He's a meathead like us, right? He's like, I can't do another 4 weeks of press-ups. Just can't do it. I was like, relax. I'll get you some dumbbells. So his plan's pretty much exactly the same. But for people who don't have any kit, like you said, just doing something and creating your own challenges. If you suck at press-ups, get better at those. Mm-hmm. You know, and don't feel like you've got to do an hour aerobics or an hour's yoga just because it's your front room. You don't have to do burpees and everything like that, and high knees. You can still do basic strength training. If you don't want to, like you said, go for a walk, get your steps up. But the way I look, like I said, I did a post the other day. By the time this comes out, I don't know where it'll be in my feed, but I said, you know, imagine if I just turned around and said, I'm closing my business till January. You'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, you can still work with people online. Like, how are you going to function? Just shut your business down. Well, that's the same when people say to me, do you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, I'm just going to start again in January. I'm like, why would you? That's literally saying, I'm not going to prioritize my health for 2 months.
Yeah.
But it's the one thing, guys. And it sounds like such a PT thing to say, but I think I would believe it even if I wasn't a personal trainer. Your health, as cliche as it sounds, cheesy as it sounds, your health is the one thing you can't live without. Mm. Yeah. You need it. You need to be in good health.
Really, of course.
You should be prioritizing it, whether that's, you know, like we said, eating right, walking, home exercise, whatever it is, you need to be prioritizing that.
100%, mate. Totally agree with you. So what's the future got in store for you, mate, with regards to like your business? Are you just looking to I know you said you've only got slots for a couple of online clients at the moment. So, you know, you're getting up to that point of being full, so to speak. So, What's the plan for me? Just sort of keep doing what you're doing. Have you got any bigger plans for the future with the business or anything?
Yeah, so keep doing what I'm doing. I really, when lockdown one happened, because obviously I was working with people with video, and I had more time at the computer, so I started like trying to make the online stuff better and do all the stuff that I kind of not got round to, like setting up basic systems to onboard people, that sort of stuff, right? So I was like, right, I'm going to do that. And the more I get into that, and I finished up the OFB modules and stuff like that. By the way, any PTs listening or thinking about switching to online, Suxidu, OFB, that's your way to go. You've got to go through that.
Yeah.
Definitely the best investment I've made in my business, for sure. So I did all that, and I was like, you know what, I might try and make online the majority of what I do and just do some select in person. But then when I went back to the gym, I was on such a high after the first day. I was like, I forgot how much I fucking love working with people in the gym, in person. And kind of like being in there, just, you know, Dorian Yates talks about it on podcasts and stuff like that. But he's like, if I'm working with someone, there's tunnel vision. There's no like outside distraction. It's just me and you. And I really get into that. So I definitely still want to be doing my in-person. It's definitely still want to be doing online. That might change in the next 5-10 years. I might start making a switch. Yeah, I only like working with like 30 to 35 people tops at a time, because I went a little bit above that at one point and I felt too stretched. Like, I was like, oh, I forgot to message this person back. Or again, coming back to that scheduling, I was like, right, I have to write in to reply to that message.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want anyone thinking, bloody hell, I signed up and this person's on his Instagram saying they're getting this, they're getting that. And I'm still waiting for a reply. So I don't want anybody ever feeling like that. I want everyone to get the same amount of service and attention. So yeah, I kind of capped it there. So, you know, like I said, I like working majority of people in person and then a certain amount of people online. So yeah, still going to carry on doing that. My focus for this like lockdown is to carry on, you know, serving my clients, obviously trying to help people. This whole free Facebook group is about just trying to help people navigate their way through this whole lockdown. But social media is going to be a little bit of a focus for this lockdown as well, because my content's a little bit like, it's not as pretty as I'd like it. So I'm going to try and like educate myself a bit more on that. And like I said, I like social media and I like trying to improve it and trying to focus on improving followers and stuff like that, purely because the more people that see it, the more people get help, right? So that's kind of the focus, to educate myself a little bit more on that, because I'm still a little bit lazy with that side of it.
Yeah, nice.
Right, mate, so what about you? How's your light schedule looking?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, nothing's changed drastically. As in, you know, clients, you know, everybody's, you know, managed to make sure everyone's confident in me. I think that they're going to be well looked after during lockdown again. As they were in the last one, you know, I've got a couple of clients who've literally signed up at the beginning. So at first they signed up like the week before lockdown, 2 weeks before. So straight away they were like, shit, what was it? My God, this, you know, but I've just let them know. I said, look, I've got you. Don't worry. This may not be optimal. You may love to go to the gym. I get that. I do too. But unfortunately you can't. So we've got to do the best with what we've got available. And if we've got nothing available, we'll make it work.
Yeah, I love that post you put up the other day where I think it was a message that your client had sent. You said, oh, I've messaged this person, but knew straight away that they'd be panicking.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, exactly that. As soon as the announcement happened, I sent out messages to the people that I knew were going to be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I was like, right, don't worry, don't panic. Yeah, so you've got like 4 jobs, right? The firefighting, the online coaching, the in-person, and WWE, are we allowed to?
Kind of, yeah, I suppose. It all comes I don't see it that way. I see the WWE stuff, the online coaching and the in-person. I just sort of see that as this one thing.
Yes, yeah. Have you got time to talk about that a little bit or no?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Interview me, let's go.
Yeah, so obviously being a huge wrestling fan and everything like that, what does your WWE role sort of like look like?
It's literally, mate, I mean, Sean Hayes is the main guy. Shout out to Sean. Yes. Obviously, I know you know who Sean is.
Yep.
Sean puts the manual, as he calls it, the training program is all, I say set in stone. Obviously, nothing's set in stone because everything can change at the drop of a hat due to like injuries or anything like that. But it is literally, you know, he's put the training Bible together, so to speak. And I just run things for him in his absence because, you know, he's obviously very busy over in the US, but at the moment he obviously can't come over here anyway. So I'm literally just his assistant, you know?
Yeah. So really? when he's not around though, are you the main guy at the facility?
I'm getting embarrassed saying it, but saying the main guy, but the way I see it is, mate, is the best way I can describe it is I'm his assistant. He's not there at the moment. So I'm just covering for him. So shall we say, he's the guy, he's the main guy.
Yeah, funny enough, sneakily, but whenever he would post on his Instagram stories like what the workouts were, the manuals, I was like, screenshot. Just purely because I was like, if I'm gonna get there, or you know, I've got friends that want to get there, I want to be training how the guys are training, right? You don't want to be doing like arm day and then go in and realize that you're going to be doing like prowler sprints and tempo runs.
Of course, yeah.
Do you find it a little bit like, not overwhelming, but a little bit crazy that you're kind of overseeing future WWE stars?
You know what, mate? Originally, yeah, I did. But now it's just like training anybody, because the guys and girls that I train with, man, honestly, every single one of them is, they're just, you know, they love what they do.
So who do you work with, can you say, or no?
Say again?
Who do you work with? Are you in charge of like a certain amount of people, or?
The NXT UK brand, man. All of them come across to the gym at some point during the day.
Right, cool. That's awesome, mate.
Yeah, they all come training over with us, man. So it's good. It's good. I enjoy it.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Radu, so before we call it a day, I always like to ask my guests for an embarrassing story. So if you've got one on your mind or you can think of, let us know a time you might have embarrassed yourself, made a bit of a fool of yourself or whatever, pal.
Yeah, okay. I've got one. This one was a little bit embarrassing. Funny enough, before when you were like, make sure you got an embarrassing story, I texted my best friend. I was like, man, I can't think of it. You got anything for me? Like, what have I done? And he was like, this, that. I was like, oh, okay, I've got these to pick from. But I'll tell one that's kind of associated. I've told this before when I had a podcast, but hopefully you won't remember it. So I'll tell one PT-wise. I do have a video of me falling off a step, but I'll probably send you that. Anyway, So I'm gonna use someone's real name. So if they do listen, hopefully they won't be too annoyed. So open my phone up, Facebook Messenger. There's a message from a girl called Lena. L-I-N-A, Lena, right? So she says she wants to do personal training, you know, interested in like a consultation session. So we booked the first session. Cool. As I don't know about you, but I went on her Facebook. I was like, cool, who am I looking for? And the Facebook photo at the time was like a bikini model. Mm-hmm. And a few of the profile photos were just models. And I was like, okay, this person wants, you know, so they said they wanted to get to a certain look. These photos are obviously for inspiration. I don't know if there's some sort of, you know, insecurity there or whatever. Don't really know. The gym that I worked at the time was part of a college. Mm-hmm. So it was used for the students, and we paid a rent fee and we got to personal training there. So I park up, I message saying, I've arrived. I'll meet you in the reception. I look, and there's a girl, and there's a few girls in there, but there's one girl right by the door on the inside, and she opens her phone. And I was like, I bet it's that girl. And she's kind of like, she's young looking. She kind of looks a little bit unsure of herself. And I was like, I bet it's her. I think this girl probably wants to be like these bikini models in these mm-hmm. pictures, right? This is the image she's got. So I go in, I open the door. I was like, Lena? She was like, uh-huh. I was like, I'm Sai. She was like, hello. Right. And I thought, okay, this girl's really like timid, a little bit insecure. I was like, are you ready to head up to the gym? She was like, no. No. I was like, okay, cool. No worries. I was like, can I just ask why? She was like, I don't want to go to the gym. Meanwhile, like I said, there's a few other girls in reception and they're kind of like looking at me and talking and kind of like laughing a little bit. And I was like, okay. I was like, can I just ask why you don't want to? She goes, I'm just waiting for someone. I don't want to go to the gym. So I was like, Lena, you did book in a session with me, right? And she's like, oh no, my name's Lisa. I'm just a student at the college. It's just this young, I don't know. She looked like she was just fresh in the college. She must have been this 16-year-old girl, probably first day of college. And there's me, right? You know, 6 foot, 17 and a half stone, bald guy, just being like, come with me to the gym. Like, she was like, no, I just don't want to go. Turns out it wasn't her at all. It was a mix up of names. So I felt about that big. Of course, the other girls in the class started laughing. I felt like I was the student as well. I felt like I was back in college. It was just like the embarrassing kid. Yeah. Lena did eventually show up. She worked with me for the next 3 or 4 months. And if you go on her social media now, she is very fitness-based and always posting videos of herself in the gym. So,
nice.
But yeah, that was, I felt my whole head go completely red. Like, oh my God, this young girl has no idea what I'm talking to her for.
I think a lot of the embarrassing stories that I've had from other guys on the show, I'd say we're getting towards probably something like 50%, maybe even more, that involves somebody shitting themselves. So
yeah, I've been quite lucky with that. I've been quite lucky with that. And obviously, I don't know about you, but spending over a decade in a high protein diet, it's been a close call a few times.
Many times.
Yeah, especially when you're like, yeah, of course. Especially when the newest supplement comes out, you're like, oh, I definitely need that, and I need 8 scoops of it a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a few close calls where your client's in the middle of a set and you're like, be right back.
Yeah.
No, mine's, yeah, that was the one I thought, right, I want to make it kind of close to training. So that was mistaken identity. Yeah, nice. I couldn't believe Joe, where he stole some donuts.
Man, that was a brilliant one. That was an ace.
I was like, Joe DeFranco? No way.
No. And he was like, I've literally never told anybody this. I think it's, I'm sure he said his wife didn't even know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said he'd never told it. Yeah.
I was honored, obviously.
I didn't really know how to follow it, but that was the one I could think of because I just felt like I just wanted to shrivel up and die. I was like,
Oh, I can imagine, mate. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, especially because, like I said, because other students had seen it, and all of a sudden I've just started working at this college. They're like, man, that guy tried talking to me. Yeah, this guy just like coming up to people, asking them to go to the gym. Walking up to strangers.
Nice one, man. Right, so I think we'll wrap it up there, man. So can you make sure, you know, let everyone who's listening know where they can catch you on social media, you know, if they want to give you a follow and see what you've got going on.
Yeah, cool. That'd be great. Thank you, dude. So I'm at Cy Gregory PT, all one word, CYGREGORYPT. On Instagram, and Cy Gregory Fitness and Nutrition on Facebook. Nice. Likes, follows, shares are all really appreciated.
Lovely, lovely. Right, man, thanks again for your time.
Thank you, dude. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it, mate. And I'll speak to you again very soon, pal.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Easy, man.